When you don't know how to pray, I love it, Lori. Thanks for saying there might be a hymn that can encourage us. I hope that was your prayer for the time we're about to spend in God's Word. So thank you for praying for the service. And I hope that God honors and answers your prayer, that you would know Him more dearly, stay more near to Him, that you would know Him more clearly. This is what we just sang. Maybe. Maybe you didn't. But you know, each thing that takes place in these services of worship is to draw us closer to Him. If you're a guy, to prime the pump so that the water will flow. And we'll be slopping over with information that we can share with people we meet throughout the week. Anybody remember the last words I left you with last week? Bring two friends. How'd we do? Good to see you. I don't know how you got here, but I'm glad you're here. Now, I'm not blowing smoke here. I'm trying to encourage the church to be the church. And only God can do the work. I'm just the messenger. But I would love to be the guy that strikes the match, that sets this place on fire. God is sending the breeze. The coals are here. The ash needs to go. God, send fresh fire, fresh wind. Set this place ablaze. Is that your desire? Look at the world. It is spinning out of control. But who is going to make the difference? One man can't do it.
Dr. David Jeremiah
can't do it. Individual people have to talk to individual people about the individual person that changes lives for eternity. We're going to spend the next couple weeks, months, maybe years, recognizing what our focus is. What are you focused on? My schoolwork, my job, the uncertainty of life, the power of God. That's a good place to start. We're going to pray. I thought we prayed, but I need prayer. Father, would you help us now to be attentive to your word? Father, empty me out of myself and fill me instead with your Spirit. Let me fearlessly and boldly make known this message, that it would be taken from this place, put into practice, and make a little dent in the world we live. And for that, I give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to be looking at probably a familiar passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I actually remember the sermon I heard from this passage of Scripture. This is not it, but I remember how much this verse impacted my life. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Isn't that a great verse? But what does it mean? You know, when you read a lot of Bibles, these words are printed in red letters, and we learned a couple weeks ago that this is when Jesus is speaking. And red letters mean we should be paying attention, because Jesus shares valuable information to get us through the life we're living. Would you agree? Yes, good. How many Christians have heard this verse, but they have no idea of what the true meaning is? What does seek first the kingdom of God mean? And how do we do it? I'm sure you would agree that the phrase is pretty easy enough, right? But to get a better understanding of what Jesus is trying to get across here, we need to look at the whole context of this one verse. So, if you would like back up to verse 25, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, Jesus frequently warned his disciples about worldly concerns. It must have been important to him. So he shares that valuable information. And here in verse 33, we're told how to counter them by seeking God and his kingdom. Instead of worrying about what we'll eat or how we'll dress, these things are temporary. And yet we get caught up in them. What am I going to look like? What's my car look like? What's my clothes look like? It's passing. Our Father, who is more trustworthy than anything this world has to offer, encourages us to keep an eternal perspective. Not the here and now, the here and yet to come. That's what we need to focus on as we make our way through the uncertainty of each day. Do you know what tomorrow holds for you? Do you know what the next moment? I don't know how many of you have to go out this road and turn right there and go left and then get to 183. You know, right turns aren't terrible, but a left turn there, I'm petrified. Life is so fragile. We're gone in a moment. You and I are instructed to refuse worry and anxiety. I'm not dealing with it. Instead, we're to seek first the kingdom of God. Psalm 55:22 tells us, oh, thank you for God's word. Cast your anxiety on him, on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He'll get you through. He will never let, listen, the righteous be shaken. He will let some people be shaken. But the righteous, that's you and me, I hope, will never be shaken. Matthew 11:28-30 says, this is Jesus speaking, come to me, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That life experience, learn from that. It's for a purpose. I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And yet we choose to follow the ways of the world and get distracted from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How does that happen? Check the heart. Some of us need a heart attack. Philippians 4:6-7 reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but what? In prayer and petition, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, which rises above all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ, church? Because these are powerful verses that get us through the days that are less than desirable. And that's the most politest word I can draw up at this time. It's not what I would say. Isaiah 41 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am," listen, "your God." Is God your God? Do you own Him? Are you living for Him? Are you searching for Him? Has He got your attention? He says, "I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Would you stand on that promise, church? These words are penned for you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Come on, if you know it. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, we're recording this, so I have to say that again. But thank you, congregation, because you did well. I think that might even be picked up. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Not most of your heart. Not when it's convenient. "Lean not on your own understanding." The world doesn't make sense. "In all your ways," my Bible says, "submit to Him." That means when He says go left, you go left. When it says go right, you go right. And you know when your spirit is saying, "Don't go there." That's from God. God will make your path straight. Don't go to the right or to the left. Joshua 1:9 states, "Have I not commanded you?" You can put your name there. This is God speaking to you. "Have I not commanded you, James? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord, my God, your God, will be with you wherever you go." You know, when you take that truth and you hold on to it, it's a little easier not to sin. Because what you think you're doing by yourself, you're not. I'm not hurting anyone. You are. You're hurting yourself and you're hurting God. Or you're hurting someone else. "I will be with you wherever you go." So, what does it mean to seek God's kingdom? Seeking God's kingdom is to look in every nook and cranny of the situation you're in until your search results in finding Him. What you need to know and understand is that God stands ready. He makes Himself available to be found. Even on those days when they're going every which way but right. The question is, on those days, are we focusing on ways to worship God? Are we searching for ways to praise Him? As upside down and backwards, "God, I praise you for this hardship. I praise you for this pain. I praise you for the death of." That doesn't make sense. Or do we give in to the temptation of fear and worry? Why is that always our first response? To seek God's kingdom means we have made a conscious decision to look forward and trust God and kick fear, anxiety, and worry to the curb. And trust God's faithfulness. You know, there's more than one way to seek God's kingdom throughout the Bible. For instance, prayer. Why do we do that? Well, I pray because it works. And clearly this church has seen the effects of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 challenges us to pray continually, without ceasing. Whoever said it, well done. Continually. Jesus spoke to His Father often. which is our Heavenly Father too. So let's follow His example. I mean, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus prayed to many people. But He also spent time alone with His Father. We see this in Matthew 26 at verses 39, 42, and 44. When the most difficult time in Jesus' life is about to unfold, what does He do? He prays. He says, Father, if it be Your will, take this cup from Me, but not My will. Yours be done. That opportunity for intimacy through prayer is for us too. Really? Yeah. Pray to Your Heavenly Father. Not my Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. Don't leave it on the table another day. When hardship comes, did you think to pray? Yeah. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom? How about reading your Bible? You know, it's so much easier to just rely on a pastor or some other spiritual leader that you listen to on the internet or the radio to feed us God's Word. I just give you 8 or 10 scriptures. Powerful scriptures. No doubt, many of these people on the internet share valuable insights. But God wants to meet us personally. And very often He does that through the reading of His Word. Not just the hearing of His Word. We read it. We speak it. We write it. We remember it. We do. And when you share it, holy smokes, everything gets magnified. That's why I know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's why I know Isaiah 10, 41 or 41, 10. That's why I write notes so I don't get lost. We've been working our way through Psalm 119 for a reason. So don't leave that valuable information that it shares on the table. Well, he's talking now, but anyway. How can we learn in verse 9 of Psalm 119, how can a young person keep his way pure? Wow, that's a good translation. By taking heed according to God's Word. My Bible says, by living according to Your Word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to Your Word. God gave us His Word to keep us on the path. To keep our way pure. We're going to see in a couple of days when we get there, to verse Psalm 119, 105, if you know it. Your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. You don't have to stumble around in the dark. God is leading the way. When we read and understand the Bible and the promises that are from God that it holds, we're strengthened to stand firm against sin and the trappings that this world offers because we spent time in God's Word. And then the natural byproduct is we have a deeper relationship with Him. Do you know God? Spend time with Him. He's in the book. This is how He speaks to us. We speak to Him through prayer. He speaks to us through His Word. Or the babbling of some preacher living or on the radio. Listen. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom? Did you ever consider worship? Worship in the hard times. Renew your thinking. Redirect your thoughts. Have you ever worshiped in your living room? Have you ever worshipped in your car? Man, I sit in my car, I just get fascinated. Well, I try to. Usually I get frustrated. Do you ever try to worship in the garden while you're weeding? Or is worship something you reserve for one day a week with a fuse? We worship every day, in every way. Worship is a time of intimacy, listen, with the God of the universe. We get to sit with Him. We get to beat on His chest. We get to wrap our arms around Him and feel His arms around us. And you're in Christ. When we recognize God and honor Him for who He is, that simple act ushers us into His presence. Have you been there? Why would you want to leave? If you find yourself at a loss of words to sing, try reading a psalm or two or three to God. Crack your Bible, find a psalm, and read it. These Bible verses are full of worship. The word psalm is simply a translation of the Hebrew word that means song. Sing a psalm to Jesus. Just speak it. That's what rappers do. My God is an awesome God. And He's worthy to be praised. We laugh, but God would love that if we would just speak to Him. Psalm 145 is specifically designated as a psalm of praise. And oh, what a psalm of praise it is. It's a testimony of proclaiming God's kindness, His righteousness, His faithfulness, His glory, His majesty, His love. Psalm 146 inspires us to praise and honor God who is so worthy of our praise. Psalm 40 begins with a proclamation of faith and trust. Do you know the words? I waited patiently for my God. I waited patiently for Him. And He turned and He listened to my prayer. Well, to my cry. This is God's Word. How many times do we wonder if God is really there? If He really hears us. Psalm 40 reminds us He's there, and He does. There are many expressions of praise to be found in the Psalms. These are just a few. But there's a gajillion treasures to be found. Are you searching for them? Seeking for them? Relying on them? Trusting in them? Proclaiming them? Sharing them? I want to give you time to think about that. When life is tough, let these Psalms and anything found in God's Word change your concern to joy. Commit to reading one or more of them for yourself or with your children and memorize them. That's how we get through when life is daunting. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom? It begins with repentance. Amen. Thank you. Have you ever seen signs or billboards or messages on the sign of the board on the sign of a barn that says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near"? I've seen them. Drive out the turnpike. There's some back road that goes out to Kunkeltown or something. There's a barn with scripture on it. John the Baptist preached this message in the book of Matthew. And people today continue to proclaim it. If you're familiar with sports, and I think football starts today, I'm not sure. I'm not a sports guy. But maybe you have seen signs in the stands of the words of John 3:16 on them at a baseball game or a football game. These messages that tend to pass us by relate to turning from a lifestyle of sin that leads to death and trading that for a lifestyle of serving Christ that leads to eternity in heaven and a righteousness that comes from God. It's living in you. The truth is, all of us sin. And God still loves us. His desire is that all come to Him and turning from those sins. Will you do that like maybe right now? You know what, God? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And just leave it. You know, whether we pray for repentance leading to salvation, or if we're just doing a regular heart check throughout the week after our salvation, it is to our best interest to seek God's kingdom first and rely, trust on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you trusting His faithfulness every day in every way? Or are you distracted? Because clearly, this is the most powerful point of the message. And there are plenty of things trying to distract me and us. Yes, church, don't be distracted. Stay close. Don't hold on to that sin for another day. So what does it mean to seek God's kingdom first? Did you ever try memorizing Scripture? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody that's got Scripture in their head knows the power and the strength that comes through it. One way to combat temptation or worry or to give in to anxiety, it is to know the Word of God. How much Scripture do you have? Because when they take this book, and there may come a day, the only Scripture you have is what you got. Just think. The Bible helps us understand what is right and true and pleasing in the eyes of God. Show me Your ways, Lord. What pleases You? This book, the Bible, is the only offensive weapon that we find in our arsenal in Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 119:11, the writer says, He hid the Word of God in His heart. He hid the Word of God in His heart. In other words, He memorized it. He understood it. He meditated on it. Why? So He wouldn't sin against God. Do your sins bother you? Oh, you're sinless. I still have a long way to go. But I find it's easier to say, God, break my heart for what breaks Yours. And He's real good at that. But we need to make a conscious decision and take a step. And turn. That is a daunting task. When we seek to take time to focus on key verses from the Bible and memorize them, we are prepared. At a moment's notice, we can redirect temptation and turn it to the truth, the strength, and the righteousness that comes from God. We're not going to make it in our own strength. We need Him. And He equips us through His Word. What does it mean to seek God above all else? I will put nothing before You, O God. Jesus first, in most things, in all things. I wish the recording could see the head shake. Have you ever had a craving for something that you just couldn't extinguish it? It wouldn't go away. That craving, that nagging, that yearning. Say for chocolate, Have you, like me, gone through every kitchen cabinet searching for just a portion? I know I learned the hard way that baker's chocolate is not sweet. Yeah, I did. And when you can't find it in the kitchen, have you gone to the dining room to look for the whatever your uncle gave your mom? The Whitman sampler chocolate box? And you're standing on your tiptoes trying to reach on top of the china cupboard. You drop down to your belly and you reach under, like through all the cobwebs, searching for a box of chocolate that you know your mother hid. You pull out the center drawer and you start looking under every napkin and the folds and the tablecloths that are stored there. And you don't find it there, so you go upstairs to every closet and dresser drawer just looking for something to satisfy. Have you ever been there? This is how God desires us to search for Him. With that same level of diligence, I'm not going to stop looking for you until I find you. When you do, you're going to find that at everything about God, you're going to see that He reveals His goodness, His faithfulness, His grace, and His mercy. When you search for Him. But that's an action we have to take. Listening on someone's regurgitated scripture, because that's what I just spewed on you. But the stuff that you take up and eat for yourself nourishes your soul, the core of your being. And it helps you get through whatever this life might throw your way. So don't leave it on the table for another day. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And you know what you get?
You know what you get? The promise of verse 34.
Go ahead, read it for yourself. Sorry you don't have God's word with you. Verse 34, and these things will be added unto you. Whatever you want in this life, it's yours. Ask God with the right motive, and He gives you the desire of your heart. The question to answer, the question that you need to answer of yourselves, is, I know you want to answer the question, what is He talking about? But the question you need to ask yourself and answer is, what is your focus? What am I focusing on today? The good, the bad, and the ugly? The world, the flesh, and the devil? Or the power of God? I suggest greatly fix your eyes on Jesus. And with that, let it be so. Father, I thank You for this time. Thank You for Your word and the power that it holds. And I pray that You would create in us the desire to seek You out and not stop until we find You. Father, lead us to the places that reveal You. Billboards. Sides of barns. Preacher teachers on the radio. But draw us into Your word. Let us hide it deep within our hearts so that we will be equipped to stand, not fall or falter when life gets tough. We thank You for the power of Your word, and I pray that we would keep it close to our hearts. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.